Let's all bow before Almighty Yahweh. Father, we thank you for your truth and for your word. We pray, Father, that you may help us all to live a life that is pleasing to you, to walk in your ways, to exemplify you and your son's attributes, to follow your ways, to walk in Yahshua's footsteps, to live as he lived, and follow our lives as he showed through his own example. Father, we thank you so much for the blessings you've given us. We thank you for the life we have and for the families and for the blessings, the many, many wonderful blessings that we could never show the gratitude for, Father, but we thank you for all that you've done. And we pray that you may be with us now, be with me. Allow the words that I speak be from you and your inspiration. Father, we thank you so much, and we ask this prayer in Yahshua's beloved name, the one who died and came to show us how to live, and it is through Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. I'd like to welcome everybody here this Sabbath, and also those who may be listening on the internet or through a CD. If you're listening through audio cassette, you need to convert over to the MP3. Anyway, Sister Amy was up here a few weeks ago from Pennsylvania. Her and her husband are looking to start a soup kitchen. And I thought about this after she left, the need to help the poor. We don't often speak on this in the assemblies. This isn't a topic that is heard. Matter of fact, I can't remember a topic once that I've heard this spoken on. And I've been in the sacred name, been in the faith for almost 30 years now. So it's something that's important, something we need to understand, something we should maybe as an assembly and as people strive a little bit harder to do. I'd like to begin by looking at some statistics so we realize how poor many people are. And these statistics are world poverty statistics. Here, according to this source, half the world, nearly 3 billion people, live on less than $2 a day. $2 a day. Well, that's amazing when you think about what we make today and what we bring home, what we live on. Approximately 790 million people in the developing world are still chronically undernourished, almost two-thirds of whom reside in Asia and the Pacific. 290 million people today out of 6 billion are chronically undernourished in the world. You know, we have much to be thankful for. We have food on the table, roof over our head, a little bit of money to do a few things with. So much to be thankful for. Another statistic here, 30,000 children die each year due to poverty. Well, that's a lot of children. And I know that most of us, we can certainly relate to the loss of a child. 30,000 every day because of poverty. Some 1.1 billion people in developing countries have inadequate access to water, and 2.6 billion lack basic sanitation. 1 million children die each year from lack of access to safe drinking water. Inadequate sanitation. 1.4 million people. I don't know how many Jefferson cities or Columbias that would be, but many, many times over a year. Number of children in the world, 2.2 billion. Number of children in poverty, 1 billion. So one out of two children are in poverty, impoverished, and starving in this world. As Yahweh's people, again, this is something that we need to be cognizant of. We need to be aware of. Again, we don't hear a lot about helping the poor, helping those in need, helping those in poverty. But I commend Sister Amy and Brother Jason for their efforts and their desire to help those who have not, help those who are needy, that are unable to sustain their own food, their own necessities. I'd like to begin by looking at Yahweh's word, the Torah specifically. What does Yahweh say within his law about helping the poor? You know, we hear about the Sabbaths, we hear about the feast days, we hear about the clean foods, we hear about the sabbaticals, the jubilees, which we're going to review today. But how often have we heard about helping the poor and what Yahweh says about poverty within his law? For there's more than what many people may realize. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7, I'd like to begin there. It says, if there be with you a poor man, one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in the land which Yahweh your Elohim gives you, you shall surely not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from thy poor brother. But you shall surely open thy hand unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need, and that which he wants. Beware that there be not a base thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and then I be evil against thy brother. And you give him not, and he cry unto Yahweh against you, and it be sin unto you. You sure shall surely give him. And your heart shall not be grieved when you give unto him, because that for this thing Yahweh thy Elohim will bless you in all thy work. So notice that if we give, we will be blessed. And we know that Yahweh is faithful with his blessings. And in all that you put your hand unto, for the poor will never cease out of the land. Therefore I command you, saying, you shall surely open thy hand unto thy brother, to the needy, and to the poor in the land. So what do we find here? We find a commandment to help the poor. This is no different from the Sabbath. This is no different from the feast days, from the clean foods, from the other laws. We find we have an obligation, a responsibility to help our brothers, to help our sisters, to help those around us in need. You see, I was concerned about the poor. He's concerned about those who have not. He's concerned about the needy. So with all the commands, we find here one specifically referring to the needy, to the poor, to those without. Now, notice what Yahweh says here about the sabbatical. I believe this is important because it shows the heart. He says that we're not to consider the year, specifically the sabbatical, when we give to a brother, to a sister in need. Now, why is this relevant? Why is it relevant that we're concerned about the sabbatical? As you all know, every 7 years during the sabbatical, we're told to forgive one another's debts. To forgive a debt of a brother or sister, which is still applicable, I believe, today. You see, Yahweh does not want someone to withhold what they may be able to provide because of the sabbatical. Because they may think, or they may see, or what if the person can't pay me back? What if the sabbatical comes and I have to release or forgive that brother, that sister of that debt? And because of that, they refuse to give. They refuse to give. The last thing Yahweh wants is a person who gives grudgingly. You know, we should give from the heart freely. This is so important to understand. We're not to give begrudgingly. We're not to give with animosity. We're not to give as we're going to find wanting something in return. Notice again the topic, that we're to help the poor. This is not something we hear again all that often, but it's important to Almighty Yahweh as we find here. In some ways, this command is greater than the Sabbath, the feast days. You know, it's easy to abstain from work one day a week. As I get older, I enjoy it more and more. I don't have to do anything. Don't have to go to my employment. Don't have to mow the lawn. I do have to get out of bed. But I enjoy the Sabbath. You know, but to give of what we have to a brother, to a sister, to a person in need. Or, you know, this requires character. It requires something special inside, being able to sacrifice. Give of what we have. It shows that we're willing to sacrifice for our brothers, for our sisters, for those around us. And again, that's so important to Almighty Yahweh. This is one of the greatest lessons in Yahweh's word. We're told many times the word of sacrifice, and this is one way in which we fulfill this command. We give what we have to others who do not have. So again, the lesson here, we're to help the poor. We're to help the needy, and we're to give it freely, not grudgingly. Not with animosity, not anticipating something in return. Deuteronomy chapter 24, 14 is another command referring to giving. And it says, do not take advantage of a hired man who is poor and needy, whether he be a brother Israelite or an alien living in one of your towns. Pay him his wages each day before sunset, before he is poor, and he is because he is poor and is counting on it. Otherwise, he may cry to Yahweh against you, and you will be guilty of sin. I want to point out here two things. Number one, notice that Yahweh commands that we're not to oppress or take advantage of an Israelite or an alien or foreigner, sojourner. We're not to do this. Now, it's important that we understand the difference here between a brother and a sojourner, because this is applicable to you and I today. In the context here, a brother would be an Israelite, somebody from that tribe. A foreigner, an alien, would be a non-Israelite, would be someone outside of that tribe. So how does this relate? How does this impact you and I today? Or we know that a Messiah, there is neither Greek nor Jew, there is neither male nor female, there is neither bond nor fruit. Why? Why? Because we are all one in Messiah. So those whom we consider brothers are those in Messiah, those in the faith, those immersed into Yahshua's name. So we find that we're not to take advantage of those in the assembly, our brothers, our sisters. We're not to take advantage of these. Or what about the sojourner? What about the alien we find here? Who are they? Or for us, these people are those outside the promise. They're outside of the truth. They're not immersed in Yahshua's name. Now again, notice that Yahweh says not to oppress both your brother and the alien, the sojourner. So we find here that we're not to take advantage. We're not to receive a profit. We're not to abuse. We're not to oppress anybody. A brother and a foreigner. Somebody outside the faith. That's important because some reason, some people feel that they can oppress those outside the faith. It's not the case. Now, what's the benefit of not oppressing or taking advantage of those outside the faith? Well, number one, we set an example for those outside of Yahweh's truth. We set an example. You know, sometimes setting an example is more beneficial than any message a person could ever hear. It's more beneficial than any book they may read. By that example, they may repent and go to Yahweh's truth. You know, a person may see the good examples of someone like Brother Jim, who's not here, and through that example, they may have a deep desire to change, to pursue Yahweh's truth, something they would have never received through a message or through a booklet or through an article. But it's something they received through that example. So we're to treat others as we would want to be treated, not to abuse the needy, not to abuse those who have not. You know, matter of fact, Paul, writing to young Timothy, this is fascinating. It's a requirement that an elder, a bishop, must have a good report from the outside. He must receive a good report, it says, from the outside, 1 Timothy chapter 3. This is a requirement for an elder. What's another benefit of helping those outside the faith? Another benefit, I believe, is the moral fulfillment of helping those who are poor, who are needy. You know, see, sometimes helping others can be as much of a blessing for us as it is for them. Have you ever experienced helping somebody? And after you help that person, you feel fantastic. You feel great. You might feel better than the person you helped. There's something very special about helping others, helping people in need, helping people who do not have the opportunity you have, that really, really need some assistance, some help. So giving and helping those who are without is one of the greatest
characteristics we can show. And you know, this is one of the greatest attributes, I believe, of our Father in heaven and His Son. We know that Yahweh so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that we might have an opportunity for eternal life through Yahshua's shed blood. We know that Yahshua, through His own will, died for us. He sacrificed for us. Now, this isn't specific to the poor, but again, this is a sacrifice. We're speaking here about a sacrifice, giving to others, giving to others. Now, number two, notice that Yahweh commands that we pay those who are poor before sundown. Why? Why? Well, this makes sense. Very practical reason. They used that day's earning to pay for food and for other necessities. You see, Yahweh's concerned about the poor. He's concerned about those without. For many, this day's wage would pay for that night's food or lodging or other necessities that that person may have required. So we find again that Yahweh is concerned about those in need, concerned about those without. We find here that He gave laws to help those who were poor, those who were in poverty. Now again, this is just as applicable to you and I, and that's why I commend those who take the effort to help those who are needy, to help those who are poor. Now, there are still poor people on this earth, as we read, many, many millions who are poor, who are needy, who are destitute, who are living in poverty today. Matter of fact, every day, many, many thousands starve and die because they don't have what we take for granted daily. You know, we have so, so much to be thankful for. We have food, always food on the table. We have a roof over our head. Most of us, we have luxuries that most of the world can't even comprehend. It's so important that we realize this, that there are still poor people, that there's still an obligation to help. And you know, we as Yahweh's people, we need to be a cut above the rest, I believe. We need to strive. We need to strive not only to set an example with the Sabbath, not only to set an example with the feast days or the clean foods or another law, but to be morally righteous, to fill that need. You know, if you think about it, those of us here, I'm sure, here, probably everybody listening, have more than we possibly need. So again, we can find a very simple lesson here. We're not to take advantage of those without, those who are in need. Instead, we're to help in whichever way we can. Here we find a very simple way that Yahweh is uplifting the poor. Pay them daily so that they can pay their bills. They can have food to eat and a roof over their head. Leviticus chapter 25, 23. This year is speaking about the Jubilee, the year of Jubilee. And here in the Jubilee, we find a lesson about the poor. It says the land must not be sold permanently, because the land is mine, and you are but aliens or foreigners and my tenants. Throughout the country that you have hold as a possession, you must provide for the redemption of the land. If one of your countrymen becomes poor and sells some of his property, his nearest relative is to come and redeem what his countrymen has sold. If, however, a man has no one to redeem it for him, but he himself prospers and acquires sufficient means to redeem it, he is to determine the value for the years since he sold it and refund the balance to the man to whom he sold it. He can then go back to his own property. They did this reckoning the years to Jubilee. But if he does not acquire the means to repay him, what he sold will remain in the possession of the buyer until the year of Jubilee. It will be returned in the Jubilee, and he can then go back to his property. So what do we find here? Well, number one, important lesson. Yahweh says here that they could not sell the land permanently. Permanently. Why? Why was this? Well, Yahweh said that the land belonged to him. The land belonged to him. The land did not belong to the Israelites. It was not their land. It was Almighty Yahweh's land. They were only tenants within the land. Now, why is this important for us? Well, I believe that this concept applies to everything we have. There's nothing we possess that does not belong to Almighty Yahweh. You know, so often do we, sometimes we'll take credit for something we've achieved. You know, sometimes we do have to put some effort forth, but it still belongs to Almighty Yahweh. There's nothing that belongs to us, our own bodies. And they're really nothing more than rentals until the resurrection, when Yahweh will give us a new body, one of incorruption. So nothing really belongs to us. You know, who designed us? Who made us? Who formed us? Who gave us life? Did we do this on our own? Absolutely not. No, Yahweh formed us in our mother's womb and gave us life. Why? To serve Him. You know, so many people, they believe that they have life and that gives them the right to do and live as they will. Wrong. We are given life for one reason, and that is to honor and obey our Father in heaven. That is the only reason we're given life. The only reason in the world we're given life. It's important that we keep in mind that what we have belongs to Almighty Yahweh. This is a lesson that we find here, and a lesson that certainly applies to you and I. Now, notice what Yahweh says about the poor during the year of Jubilee. Yahweh said here that a person became poor, could no longer afford their home, they could sell their possession to someone else. But they had an opportunity to redeem that possession, and they could do it one of three ways. I'd like to read from the Colin Delitzsch commentary of the Old Testament. It explains here precisely how and what ways they could do this. It says, quote, "There were three ways in which this could be done. The first case, verse 25, was this. If a brother became poor and sold his property, his nearest redeemer was to come and release what his brother had sold, that is, buy it back from the purchaser and restore it to its former possessor. The nearest redeemer was a relative upon whom this obligation rested according to the series mentioned in verses 48 and 49. The second case, verses 26 and 27, was this. If anyone had no redeemer, either because there were no relatives upon whom the obligation rested, or because they were all too poor, and he had earned and acquired sufficient to redeem it, he had to calculate the years of purchase and return the surplus to the man who had bought it, that is, as much as he had paid for the years and still remained up to the next year of Jubilee, that so he might come into possession of it again. As a purchaser had only paid the amount of the annual harvest till the next year of Jubilee, all that he could demand back was as much as he paid for the years that still remained. The third case was this. If a man had not earned as much as was required to make compensation for the recovery of the land, what he had sold was to remain in the possession of the buyer till the year of Jubilee. And then it was to go out, that is, to become free again, so that the impoverished seller could enter into possession without compensation. The buyer lost nothing by this, for he had fully recovered all that he paid for the annual harvest up to the year of Jubilee, from the amount which those harvests yielded. Through these legal regulations, every purchase of land became simply a lease for a term of years." End quote. So here we find the three ways in which a buyer or seller could redeem his land. Now, what's the lesson here for us? Well, number one, we find again that Yahweh is concerned about the poor. He put this in place for the needy. He put this in place for those who were without. Now, if you really think about it also, one of the main purposes, reasons, I believe, for the Jubilee was this. The Jubilee was designed, partly, to minimize poverty. Think about it for just a moment. The Jubilee was designed to minimize poverty, to help with those who were in need. We find here that in the instance a possession was sold, the seller could not redeem it because of his status of poverty. Worst case scenario, he received his land back in the year of Jubilee. This was a command of Almighty Yahweh. Yahweh put this in place again to help those who were in need. From those who've never studied the Jubilee, let me give you a quick description of what occurred during this time. Land Sabbath, no sowing or reaping was allowed. Yahweh said, let the land rest. Redemption of property, we just read about that. Somebody sold land. It went back to the original owners during this time. Every Jubilee, there were no exceptions. The land returned.
to the one whom Yahweh gave the land to. In personal liberty, servants were set free. Some people call the Jubilee the year of liberty. Why? Because it is. It's a year of liberty. It's a year of release. It's a year that things were given back. So we find that the year of Jubilee was a time of that all debts were released, that all debts were forgiven, possessions were returned, and people were set free. Again, I believe the purpose, part of the purpose behind the Jubilee was a redemption from property. It kept Israel from going into poverty, as many nations have done today. It was a way for Yahweh to restore what was lost every 50 years. It was a way for Him to make a new beginning for those who were poor, for those who were destitute, for those who had not the means of accomplishing this on their own. Yahweh provide a means, a method. So again, we find through example that Yahweh is concerned and He's established laws to protect the poor, to protect the needy. I'd like to look at another example, Leviticus chapter 25, verse 35. Here's what it says. It says, if one of your countrymen becomes poor and is unable to support himself among you, help him as you would an alien or a temporary resident, so he can continue to live among you. Do not take interest of any kind from him, but fear your Elohim, so that your countryman may continue to live among you. You must not lend him money at interest or sell him food at a profit. Yahweh says here that we're not to lend to a brother, to receive some sort of profit or interest in return. In other words, we're not to take advantage of those who are without, those who are needy. We're not to benefit on the adversities of those who are suffering, whether that be a brother, whether that be a sister, whether that be somebody, an alien or a foreigner. We're not to take advantage of that person. Understand that Yahweh never promoted the idea of profit, of interest, in this way. For example, today's concept of loans with interest is something that Yahweh certainly would not condone, would not approve of. You know, today's banking industry, including credit cards and all other forms of banking, by and large, promote poverty. They promote poverty. People, they charge their credit cards. They pay that minimum payment monthly. They're never able to get out of debt, and they sinker and deeper and deeper and deeper into poverty. We are living in a system that encourages poverty. Yahweh's system does not. Yahweh's system does not. As we've already seen, Yahweh's system encourages the poor, uplifting the poor, uplifting those without. Encourages the redemption from poverty through the sabbatical and through the Jubilee and through other means. Again, there's a reason why Yahweh commanded against receiving a profit on the adversities of others. It only serves to bring greater poverty on those who are already in need. And we see this daily in this nation and the world. We find this message reiterated in Exodus 22, verse 25. There it says, if you lend money to any of my people with you that is poor, you shall not be to him as a creditor, neither shall you lay upon him interest. If you at all take thy neighbor's garment to pledge, you shall restore it unto him before the sun goes down. There it is again, before the sun goes down. For that is his only covering. It is his garments for his skin. Wherein shall he sleep? And it shall come to pass when he cries unto me that I will hear, for I am gracious. So again, we find that Yahweh is commanding against taking of interest, taking a profit, taking somebody, and taking advantage of that person. To reiterate, how could we condone the taking of profit of interest when it only brings greater poverty on a brother, on a sister? Can't do it. So if we see a brother, if we see a sister in need, if we have the means to help, we're to do so without any expectation of anything in return. We're to do so because Yahweh's word says to help. Yahweh's word says to be there for a brother, to be there for a sister. And again, we're to do so without anything in return. Yahweh also commands here that if we take a coat or anything else of a person who is poor in poverty, that we're to return that possession before sunset. Why? Very simple. The person's in poverty. They need that coat. They need that possession to live every day. It's the only coat they have. It's the only food they might have. You know, in some ways, many of these laws are common courtesy, common sense, common decency. But, you know, it amazes me how many people have lost this in this day and age. They just don't have the common courtesy they had maybe years ago. Today, much of this is lost. We're living in a system that is about one thing, me. It's all about me. It's all about what I can accomplish. It's all about what I can achieve. I will run right over you if you get in my way. It's all about me. For us, not Yahweh's word. Yahweh's word says it's about your brother, it's about your sister, it's about those around you, not about you. Not about you. I'd like to look at the sabbatical here, Exodus 23:11. It says, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, speaking about the land. No sowing nor reaping. That the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field shall eat. In like manner you shall deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive grove. So again, the sabbatical was every 7 years, much like the Jubilee. During this time, no planting occurred, no reaping occurred. But we find that Yahweh during this time made provisions for the poor. He made provisions for those in need. Yahweh said that the produce that grew of its own, that they, the poor, could reap, or not reap, but take and eat. There's a difference between taking and eating within a field and reaping that field. But they could go and they could enjoy that food, that fruit, those vegetables, whatever the case might be. That was for the poor during the sabbatical. And what they would not eat, says a beast of the field would eat. But here again, we find an example of Yahweh's benevolence, of His love, of His concern for those who had not. We find another example here, a law specifically for the poor and foreigner. Leviticus 19:9 says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall wholly, or not completely, reap the corners of the field. Neither shall you gather the gleaning of thy harvest, and you shall not glean the vineyard. Neither shall you glean the fallen fruit of the vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am Yahweh, your Elohim. So Yahweh here, He commanded that the Israelites not completely reap the corners of the fields, not to gather the fallen fruit and the vineyards. Why? We're very simple again. Yahweh said that this was for the poor, that this was for the sojourner, that this was for those who had not. You see, Yahweh, through His word, established a system again that encouraged giving, that encouraged helping the poor, that encouraged helping those in poverty and removing poverty. You know, the one thing that Yahweh wanted to avoid was a nation filled with poverty and death. And this is what we're seeing in this nation and many, many, many others throughout this world. The systems of man encourage poverty, encourage death, because they're focused on me. They're focused on self. They're focused not on Yahweh's word. They're focused not on their brother, not on their sister, not on their fellow man. And we can find this. Now understand that these examples that we've looked at, it's not by coincidence. It's not something that Yahweh designed of coincidence. It's something that Yahweh designed purposely. Now, do we find these examples in the New Testament? Can we find Yahshua, for instance, concerned about the poor? Do we find Paul or James or Peter, some of the other apostles, concerned about the poor? Well, let's find out. Matthew 25:41. Yahshua here, He says, then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire which is prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not give me to eat. I was thirsty, and you did not give me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in, naked, and you clothed me not, sick and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer, saying, Master, when saw we you hungry, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto you? Now pay attention to verse 45 here. It says, then shall He answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did not unto one of these least, you did it not unto me. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So what is Yahshua saying here? What's the message He's trying to convey? Yahshua says, When we help those in the faith, when we help those in the world, we help Him. It's the same thing. There's no difference between helping somebody here in the assembly and helping Yahshua, our Savior, on high. When we help somebody, we help Yahshua. There are no difference. Again, verse 45, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not unto these least, you did it to me. So from this passage, do you believe that we have an obligation to help the needy, to be there for people? And you know, we've had people in this assembly that's needed assistance, that's needed help. And I'm encouraged to say that I've seen a great outpouring of love from those here. We all pitched in, we came together, and we supplied that need. And that's a blessing for those here. But that's something we always need to do, something we always need to be sure to do for one another, to help one another. You know, Yahshua certainly made it a point here to emphasize the need of helping the poor, helping those who had not. Now, how important did Yahshua view here the need of helping the poor? How important was it? Pretty important. He said that for those who refused to help, those who looked the other way, those who simply would not do it, that their part would be in the lake that burns with fire. Eternal destruction. It's pretty serious. For helping the poor. You see, there are consequences for refusing to help those in poverty. Refusing to help when we have the means of doing so. And as we saw in the Old Testament, Yahweh gave many, many laws helping, encouraging the poor, encouraging those who were in need. As Yahweh's people today, we're to follow these same principles in the Old Testament. It applies to you and I. As I said before, helping those in need is a sacrifice, and a sacrifice is precisely what we're to do in the assemblies, what we're to do as believers. Let's look at this from a different angle. We're told to love one another, right? Love one another. Greatest command in Yahweh's word, love. Love Almighty Yahweh, number one, love your neighbor, number two. Love one another. Now, how do we love one another? There's not a greater love than to sacrifice oneself for another, right? Not a greater love to sacrifice yourself for another. You see, we can make sacrifices in many ways. We can choose to die for another as Yahshua did. But we can also choose to give something that we may need, may not be a necessity though, to a brother who has a need for this. We may give in many, many different ways. Giving our own resources to the poor is one of the greatest examples of love, I believe, within Yahweh's word. This is why it's so evil when we look the other way, when we ignore the problem, when we refuse to help that person in need, when we have the means of doing so. That's showing absolutely no love. And that's a sad state. I don't believe that we can say we love or we have love or we show love if we're ignoring the needs of those around us. Now, certainly, you know, we have an obligation, too, to support us, to work hard. But, you know, some people, they have a tough time and they need that help. And they need that uplifting. And we have an obligation to help in times like this. James chapter 2, verse 14. Here, Yahshua's brother is writing. And here's what he says. What is it, prophet, my brethren? If a man say he has faith but have not works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and in lack of daily food, and one of you say unto them, go in peace, be ye warmed and filled, and yet you give them not the things needful to the body. What does it profit? Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. So notice the message we find here. Notice what is being said in this passage. James said that faith without works was what? Was dead. Now, we often use this passage referring to the law, and certainly I think it's applicable. But what is this passage really referring to? We find here that James is referring to helping those in need, physically helping people, lack of food, lack of clothing, lack of the basic necessities of life. So if we find someone in need, if we look the other way, if we refuse to help, our faith is dead. So not only do we show no love, but we have no faith. So important that we understand this. Is this message any different from what we heard from our Savior Matthew? No, absolutely not. It's the same message. Again, as Yahweh's people, we have a responsibility to help those in the assembly, to help those in need, to help those outside the assembly, those who we may know. You know, if we hold our hands back when we can help another person, we are neglecting the responsibility we have as believers. And again, it's commendable those who realize this today and are striving to help. Remember that those of us immersed in Yahshua's name, we're to follow our Savior's examples. We're to do as He did. We're to live as He lived. Now, we can find many examples of Yahshua helping the needy, helping those without, helping the poor. How many people did Yahshua heal? Anybody know? Well, I don't either. How many people did He feed? Probably quite a few. How many people did He sacrifice for? All of us. You know, Yahshua did some great, great things for us. Yahshua's ministry was all about the other person. He said, I came not to be served, but to serve. And that's one of the most important concepts within Yahweh's word. I come not to be served, but to serve. You know, if everybody had that attitude, that they're not here to be served, that they're not here to receive, but they're here to give. They're here to help. This assembly and this world would be a much, much better than it is even today. You know, how many people, again, did Yahshua heal? So many. So many people did He help and sacrifice for and feed. We're to follow in this example. You see, sacrificing for others, whether it be nourishment or some other need that person may have, is at the core, I believe, of Yahweh's word. Not only the new, some people may say this is a New Testament message. No, it's not a New Testament message. This is an old and New Testament message. We find all the way back in Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, principles Yahweh put in place to help the poor, to help those who were in need. This is not something new to the New Testament. You know, Hebrews talks about moving past the first principles of Messiah, moving on, pressing on to perfection. You know, I believe that in many ways, learning to sacrifice for the needs of others, learning to put yourself down, is pressing on to this perfection. And let's face it again, the Sabbath is easy. Sabbath is easy. Feast days are easy. Abstaining from pork and other unclean foods, that's easy. Simple, piece of cake. But it's not always easy to sacrifice for others. To put yourself second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever the case might be, and to put that person number one. It's not easy for anybody. But here we find that we're to do this. You know, James said the pure religion was helping the fatherless and widows in their affliction. This is pure religion. He didn't say keep the Sabbath. It's important. He said, tend to those in need. You see, perfection within Yahweh's word is being able to move past yourself, focused on others, putting them first. Again, this is precisely what our Savior did during His earthly ministry. He focused on the needs of others. He served others. He didn't come to serve Himself. He didn't come to put His own self on a pedestal or a big throne. No, He came as a humbled servant to help those in need. Yahshua was concerned about those who were without, those who were in need, and we ought to be the same concerned. James chapter 2, verses 1. Here, again, James goes on and to talk about the poor and the rich. He says, my brethren, hold not the faith of our master Yahshua, of sovereign of glory with respect to persons. For there's come into your synagogue a man with a gold ring and fine clothing, and there come in also a poor man in vile clothing. And you have regard to him that weareth the fine clothing and say, set you here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, stand you here. Or sit under my footstool. Do you not make distinctions among yourselves and judge and become judges with evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, did not Elohim choose them that are poor as to the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to them that love Him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and themselves drag you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? Howbeit, if you fulfill the royal law, according to the scriptures, you shall love thy neighbor as thyself. You do well. So we find here that we're not to show partiality between the rich and the poor, that we're to treat both the same. You know, one truth we find from old to new is that Yahweh is not partial in his judgment. The same judgment he has for one, he has for the other. Yahweh shows the same love to the poor and to the rich, to those who love and to fear him. And as Yahweh's people, we're to do the same. Well, let me ask you all this. Do we look down upon certain people because of what they might be dressed in, what they might drive, the home that they may live in? You know, some people do. Hopefully nobody in this room would. But I know people do, and we shouldn't. This is not something we as believers should do. You know, Yahweh judges not from the outside. And this is a concept we need to keep in mind. Yahweh does not judge from the outside. He judges from within the heart. He looks at the inner person, who they are on the inside. Again, we're to do the same. You know, there are some people, you know, they're physically destitute. You can look at them and you just shake your head. And they look rough. They might even smell rough, you know. But, you know, they may be a great, great person inside. And sometimes we need to take a step back and we need to evaluate that person, not on what they're dressed in or what they drive or don't drive or where they live, but on who they are on the inside. And this is the message we find here from James, not to judge or show partiality between the poor and the rich, not to judge from the outside, but to judge unrighteousness. And we know that Yahshua in the kingdom, it says he will judge unrighteousness. He will judge between the poor and the rich. And he will judge not on observation, physical appearance, but he will judge unrighteousness. He will look within. He will look within. I'd like to look at two more passages here. Yahshua pronounces a blessing here. He lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is a kingdom of heaven." Again, we find here that Yahweh blessed the poor. The poor. Now, what does he mean here when he says poor? Some people, they ask, is this referring to poverty? Is this referring to humility? For years, I thought this referred to humility. And I looked it up in the Greek. The Greek word for poor is protokos, and means a beggar or someone without wealth. This is someone who is poor, someone who is without. So we find Yahshua here pronouncing a blessing on the poor, those who are destitute, those who are in poverty. So what's so special about the poor? Why does Yahshua say this? Well, you know, in my mind, it's very simple. Generally, the poor depends upon Yahweh more than they who have wealth. I'm sure you've all seen this. I'm sure that you understand this. Yahshua said, for instance, it'd be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom. It's almost impossible. It's almost impossible for someone who has a great abundance of wealth to enter in. Now, why is this? Very simply, Yahshua understood human nature. He understood that human nature, what it was. You know, wealth and money tend to pull people away from Yahweh's truth. It corrupts, it distracts people from Almighty Yahweh. You know, I've gotten to know a few people from developing countries, and I've found that their focus is completely different from our own. They're so much more focused on the faith. I knew one man came to the feast up every morning, 4 or 5 a.m., praying, studying. Wasn't doing it for a show. Wasn't where he could be seen, really, for a show. But it was commendable to see his faith, to see that devotion he had to his Father in heaven. And I found this is pretty typical. And they're more disciplined too, it seems. All they have is their Father in heaven. They rely completely on Yahweh. Those of us who have abundance, who have possessions, you know, sometimes we rely on what we have instead of relying on the one who gives all life, who grants all blessings. We rely on our own wealth. You know, we have the money, we can pay for this. Instead of praying about it, having faith that Yahweh is going to help We instead put that faith in our own possessions. You know, it's easier for human beings to become distracted by possessions, by things, by abundance. Those who are poor, they don't have these distractions. They have nothing. And again, through example after example, have I seen that when you are poor, you depend upon Almighty Yahweh. You have a great devotion and dedication to Him, unlike when you have great amounts of wealth. I'd like to close by looking at an example Yahshua gave, why the poor are special, the sacrifices they're willing to make. Mark chapter 12, verse 41, the parable of the widow's last mites, says, "Now Yahshua sat opposite at the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who gave to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood.'" This account of the widow throwing in her last mite is an illustration of why Yahshua said what he did. Blessed are the poor. As Yahshua said, this woman threw in all that she had. She didn't have a last mite to her name. She had nothing left. She threw it all in for Almighty Yahweh. Now this type of sacrifice requires true devotion and faith in Almighty Yahweh. A faith that knows assuredly that Yahweh will provide, that Yahweh can provide and does provide. There's no doubts, there's no questions, there's no uncertainties. We find that she gave all that she had for the kingdom. She held nothing back. And this is a lesson for us. We as Yahweh's people should hold nothing back. Besides Yahweh's love and compassion for the poor, I believe it's this example, one reason why he loves and shows compassion as he does for those who are without. Yahweh loves the poor because of their willingness to rely and put their faith on him, not because they're poor. I believe that this is part of the reason why we read what we do about the poor in the Old Testament. He had a special place in his heart for those who were needy, those who had not, as the rest, who had an abundance. This is why we find commandments protecting the poor, alleviating the poor, encouraging the poor in the Old Testament. You know, in some ways, there's not a greater blessing than to be in a position of having nothing and relying completely on Yahweh. A lot of people find that frightening. Most would. But in some ways, it's a great blessing to be free from possessions, to be free from abundance, and to have the necessities and basics of life, and that is to focus on Almighty Yahweh, to enjoy your wife, to enjoy your children, to have food on the table. But all the other things we enjoy, it's not needed. They're not necessities. I'd like to encourage those here, those listening, you know, to make an effort to help the poor. Again, I've been in the faith almost 30 years. I've never heard a message on helping the poor. I'm sure there's been messages given. I've never heard one, though. I've never heard a message to help the poor, to help those in need. And as we've seen from old to new, this is an important message. Yahweh has a special place for those who are needy. And we have an obligation as believers to help when we can. So again, I'd like to encourage you all to help, to be there for those here, to be there for maybe your personal families, friends, even your coworkers, those you know in the world. If you see someone you can help, help. And as we saw from the Old Testament, don't expect something in return. Don't anticipate some sort of profit. Do it because Yahweh says to do it. Better yet, do it because you love Almighty Yahweh. Do it because you want to please Almighty Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you.